Nadam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jai Mudiriyet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, unto Srila Prabhupada, the inspirer, and to His Holiness Vidyananda Das Goswami and His Grace Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, the translators and commentators on this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this second day of May 2013 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 17, verse number 4. Start with verse number 4. Vishavirya Madhavishta
Vishavirya Madhavishta
Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha
Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha
Kadati Kritya Garudam
Kadati Kritya Garudam
Swayam Tam Bhubuje Balim Vishavirya Madhavishta
Vishavirya Madhavishta
Kadraveyastu
Kaliyaha
Kadati Kritya Garudam Swayantam Bhubuje Balim Vishaviya Madhavishta Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha Kadati Kritya Garudam Swayantam Bhubuje Balim. Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha Kadati Kritya Garudam Swayam Tam Bhubuje Balim. Vishaviya Madhavishta Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha Dati Kritya Garudam Swayam Tam Bhubuje Balim. Ladies, Vishaviya Madhavishta Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha Kadati Kritya Garudam Swayam Tam Bhubuje Balim. Vishaviya Madhavishta Kadraveyastu Kaliyaha Kadati Kritya Garudam Swayam Tam Bhubuje Balim. Visha, because of his poison, Virya, and his strength, Mada, in intoxication, Avishtaha, absorbed, Kadraveyaha, the son of Kadru. That should be a long U, Kadru. Two, on the other hand, Kaliyaha, Kaliya, Kadati Kritya, disregarding Garudam.
Garuda.
Garuda.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Himself.
Tam.
Tam.
That.
That.
Babuje.
Babuje.
Eight.
Balim.
Balim.
The offering.
Translation: although all the other serpents were dutifully making offerings to Garuda, one serpent, the arrogant Kaliya, son of Kudru, would eat all these offerings before Garuda could claim them. Thus, Kaliya directly defied the carrier of Lord Vishnu. So before we go on, we're going to read a few more. Just to put it in context, this is the explanation of how Kaliya came to be situated in the Yamuna River. And Garuda would come to his island, Ramanika Island, where there are many other snakes, and Kaliya lived there. And he was threatening to eat them all. So they decided, okay, we'll give you an offering every day, or well, every 2 weeks. That will pacify him. So they were paying protection. But Kaliya, as is described here, would eat that offering. Now, just what is the offering? Well, this is described in Vishnupadi Thakur's commentary. Fruits and roots, described like that. Although Sridhar Maharaj also says a snake. So that's where Prabhupada got that in the Krishna book, if you read in the Krishna book. And that was what was puzzling me, how Kaliya would eat a snake. That didn't seem to compute, but it's there, it's Sridhar Maharaj. But in any case, the offering would be eaten by Kaliya, and as described here, this would anger Garuda. And so we'll go on. A whole bunch of other verses. Tachudva kupito rajan. Bhagavan Bhagavat Priyaha. Vijangsur Mahavega. Vijigang. Kaliyam Samapadravat. O King, the greatly powerful Garuda, who is very dear to the Supreme Lord, became angry when he heard of this. Desiring to kill Kaliya, he rushed toward the serpent with tremendous speed. Purport: Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the word Mahavega indicates that the great speed of Garuda cannot be checked by anyone. Okay. Tamapatantam tadasa vishayudha. Pratyam yayad uttita naika mastakaha. Dadbi suparnam vyadashandadayudha. Karada jigro chvasitogra lochanaha. As Garuda swiftly fell upon him, Kaliya, who had the weapon of poison, raised his numerous heads to counterattack. Showing his ferocious tongues and expanding his horrible eyes, Kaliya then bit Garuda with the weapons of his fangs. Purport: the Acharyas explain that Kaliya used his weapon of poison at a distance by spitting venom upon his enemy, and at short range by biting him with his terrible fangs. Going on. Tang Takshaputra Sanarasya Manyuman. Pachanda Vego Madhusudanasanaha. Pakshena Savyena Hedanyarochisha. Jagana Kadru Sutam Ugra Vikramaha. Again, you see, I could be the long U on Kadru. There's a mistake here. It doesn't scan without it. The angry son of Tarksha moved with overwhelming speed in repelling Kaliya's attack. That terribly powerful carrier of Lord Madhusudan struck the son of Kadru with his left wing, which shone like gold. Suparna Paksha Bihita. Kaliyo Tiva Vingvalaha. Radam Vivesha Kalin Dyas. Tadagam Yam Durasadam. Beaten by Garuda's wing, Kaliya was extremely distraught, and thus he took shelter of a lake adjoining the river Yamuna. Garuda could not enter this lake. Indeed, he could not even approach it. One more, two more. Tatrakada Jalachadam. garodo paksham ipsitam navarita sarbharina prasaya chudito harat. In that very lake, Garuda had once desired to eat a fish, fish being, after all, his normal food. Although forbidden by the sage Salbhari, who was meditating there within the water, Garuda took courage and, feeling hungry, seized the fish. Purport. Shukadeva Goswami is now explaining why Garuda could not approach the lake in the Yamuna River. It is the nature of birds to eat fish, and thus, by the arrangement of the Lord, the great bird Garuda does not commit any offense by nourishing himself with fish. On the other hand, Salbhari Muni's forbidding a much greater personality to eat his normal food did constitute an offense. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Salbhari committed two offenses. First, he dared to give an order to a supremely exalted soul like Garuda. And second, he obstructed Garuda's from satisfying his desire. And the final verse, Minan sudukitan drishtva dinan mina patauhate kripaya saubhari praha tatratyakshemam acharan. Seeing how the unfortunate fish in that lake had become most unhappy at the death of their leader, Salbhari uttered the following curse under the impression that he was mercifully acting for the benefit of the lake's residents. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when our so-called compassion does not tally with the order of the Supreme Lord, it merely causes a disturbance. Because Salbhari had forbidden Garuda's coming to that lake, Kaliya moved in and made his headquarters there, and this spelled doom for all the lake's residents. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So in a couple of verses, we'll conclude this description of how Kaliya came to be in the Yamuna Lake. But we can see the outlines of the story here. And there are various protagonists here, and how they interact, it all gives us actually several important lessons in our devotional service. So we have Garuda, we have Kaliya, we have Salbhari, we have the fish in the Yamuna Lake, and we have the snakes on Ramanaka Island. And of course, ultimately, we have Krishna, the main protagonist of everything. So, first of all, we should remember that Garuda and Kaliya are brothers, or at least half-brothers. They both have Kashyapa as a father. And so, although it says at the height of the battle when Kaliya was offended, that Garuda was offended that Kaliya was eating the offering, he rushed toward him intending to kill him. He didn't kill him. Garuda is much more powerful than Kaliya. And instead, he just hit him with his left wing, and that's significant, because that's kind of an insult. It's kind of an older brother hitting another brother upside the head. What are you doing? You're taking my offering. Kaliya was so envious, you know, envious being Prabhupada's use of the word, and there's two meanings here that have to be understood. When Prabhupada uses envious or envy, there's the traditional English meaning of the word envious, which includes what we commonly know as envious, which means more or less jealous. Someone else has something that I want, which pertains here, that Garuda was getting the offer and Kaliya wanted it. But it also means just bearing malice. To be envious of someone means you just bear malice, you bear enmity toward them. And this meaning is not so common in American English. Now, Prabhupada used it both ways. I remember when I was working on the revision of the Krishna book, and we came across this word, and I think it's in that book, where Prabhupada says, one should not be envious even of an ant. Well, that doesn't quite work for jealous. What does an ant have that we want? Nothing. Well, you should not, just step on the ant. Remember as kids, I mean, you'd go looking for the ants to step on them, right? So the point is that both of those envies have to be cleansed from the heart. So Kaliya was fully immersed in both of those kinds of envies. He was angry toward Garuda for taking the offering, for forcing his snake subjects, as it were, to make the offering. And so he decided to take them himself. And we'll go with the idea that they're fruits and roots. So Garuda became enraged and attacks Kaliya. And Kaliya suddenly realizes, I haven't got a chance here. So remembering the situation back in Vrindavan with the Yamuna, that Saubari Muni had cursed Garuda because he had eaten the fish there, who had become the friends of Saubari. Saubari, having meditated under in the river for, what, thousands of years? He was underwater doing his meditation. So that Garuda could not approach that lake. So that was his haven. So Kaliya went there and proceeded to poison the whole area. And it's understood, even just the birds that would fly over that portion of the Yamuna, that lake in the Yamuna, would fall down into the river dead. It was so virulent venom, the fumes. So what to speak of the fish in the lake? It's understood here that from the commentary that spelled doom for those fish there. So Saubari's desire to protect the fish backfired. And and because of his actions, they were doomed. So let's turn our attention to Saubari for a minute. Prabhupada often uses Saubari, along with Vishwamitra and others, as how, no matter how hard you meditate and how good you are at focusing the mind, controlling the senses in the mind, if your meditation is not on Krishna, if you're not performing bhakti yoga, you cannot expunge the deep-seated seeds of material desire. And so this was Saubari's fate. He's meditating under the Yamuna, right, under the water. So he's in a situation where there's no sense gratification for many, many years. But when he sees two fish copulating, suddenly those deep-seated desires that have not been expunged awaken. And because he'd offended Garuda by that time, he had lost his tejas, his ability to control his senses. That's explained also. And so he came out and wanted to get married. And so you know how it is, like you stay in the bathtub too long, your skin gets all wrinkled? So he was all wrinkly and ugly, So he didn't have much prospect, but by his mystic power, he turned himself into a very attractive young man. And he was able to marry 50 beautiful princesses. Who was the father? Mandata. So he had 50 princesses. He didn't expand himself into 50, so he had 50 princesses, and by each one he had 100 sons. So suddenly he has 5,000 children to worry about. And so at a certain point after some years, he's saying, what have I done? Just see, And it's described, because he had been in the Yamuna for so long, he was blessed, and that's Vrindavan. So eventually he was able to come to the point of renunciation again. But we can see that's one of the very important lessons we learned from the beginning, from Bhagavad Gita, Vishayava Nivartante. Though the embodied being may be restricted from sense objects or restrict himself from sense objects, the desire still remains. But one who restricts himself by experiencing or seeing directly the Supreme, param drishtva, then he can remain fixed in detachment. So this principle of renunciation is central to Lord Chaitanya's movement. And the principle of completely burning to ashes any seeds of material desire by the process of intense devotional service. So, now, another important lesson here is the danger of offenses. This is, Kaliya had committed first Saubari committed the offense to Garuda by forbidding him, through his curse, to come and eat his natural food. So Garuda is a great devotee of Krishna. He's an intimate servant of Vishnu and Krishna. And so he has been given this natural food to eat, the fish. There's no offense for him to eat fish. But Saubari had developed a morbid attraction to the fish, because they were his only associates. So when one of them was eaten by Garuda, as it describes in the Krishna book, the leader of the fish was eaten, he lost his discrimination. He's, this is Garuda, after all. But he curses Garuda. If you come again, you'll be, you know. So because he was a Brahmin, he had the tejas, Garuda respected that curse. But Sabari, the curse rebounded on him. And he then lost his tejas because he's cursing a superior personality. So the lesson here is more than just be careful who, you know, don't offend great devotees. It's that watch out where your compassion is directed toward. This was the misdirected compassion. Just as Arjun at the beginning of the Gita, he had misdirected compassion. Krishna has directly instructed him to fight. The big arrangement is there. The ultimate good of the whole world is at stake. Reestablishment of Dharma. And on top of that, everyone who's killed on the battlefield will be benefited by being killed in the presence of Krishna. So it's a win-win-win situation, but Arjun is blinded, or he's you know, created a situation created by Krishna so that he is compassionate toward his teacher and Bhishma Dev, the great leader of the clans, and so many others who he had some relationship with. And so that was a misdirected compassion. So the lesson is that we the devotees are meant to be friends of all. Titikshavaka sudidaksarva dehinam. But how that friendship is expressed, we should be careful how we do that under the directions of the spiritual master and the shastra. The real friendship is given to every living entity, human beings included, of course, by spreading Krishna consciousness. Whereas if we give that up, and we try to do some good for some humanitarian good, that's a misdirection of compassion. And in fact, it's if we've committed ourselves, we're initiated and so forth, that's an offense. It's an offense against the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya, because they have given us the means of expressing compassion for the whole humanity. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't take care of devotees who get sick and so forth, but we shouldn't get diverted in our feeling of compassion, because the devotee is naturally kind-hearted, and get into some materialistic mentality of relieving material suffering. So that's another lesson from this pastime. And so, let's see. And then back on Ramanaka Island, so this was a situation... No, yeah, so one of the other lessons here, which is kind of the whole pastime of Kaliya, is that he was born in the race of snakes, who are by nature envious in both ways, okay? But they'll bite you for no reason, right? I know that you have snakes here, right? I was walking in the... And I didn't see one, but I know that my friend Indra said sometimes there's rattlers and water moccasins and things, right? I hope I'm not scaring anybody. You know there are snakes here. It's a lot of water. It's in northern Florida. Luckily, they're not as predominant as on Ramanaka Island, but they're out there. And the thing is, they just bite you, just like a dog will bark for no reason, Prabhupada said. This is their nature, you know. Similarly, the snakes will bite. And so it's not a sin to kill a snake, especially a poisonous snake. In fact, the great sages are very happy. There's a verse like that, when a snake or a scorpion, which another biter, you know, is killed. Now, when it comes to mosquitoes, it's not that we should go out, you know, but when they attack, it's perfectly, on the right, on the ethical side to kill them. But the idea of these snakes, this is by nature they bite, even for no good reason. At least, you know, the mosquitoes, that's their food. You know, you're their food. So, but you're defending yourself, so you can. But in any case, so Kaliya was of that race, and as he expresses in his prayers, and his wives appeal on that basis, well, this is his nature, you know, so you should forgive him at least once, you know, for attacking you for no good reason. You're just swimming in the lake. And he made that appeal also, that I've been born in the race of snakes, and therefore this is my nature, so please forgive me. So that he was very repentant, and Krishna, of course, didn't kill him, and gave him a blessing. You can go back to Ramanaka Island. Garuda will see the marks on my feet on your head, and he will see that you've been blessed. So now what happened with Kaliya? He of course, attacked Krishna, but Krishna beat him up, you know, with that prancing dance on his head, right? And as he was doing that, gradually Kaliya was coming, you know, he was vomiting out all these poisons, as described in the Bhagavatam. And he was becoming reduced in his sinful situation. I think that's the phrase Prabhupada uses in the Krishna book. In other words, he was becoming cleansed, both physically and in his heart, by this direct contact with Krishna. And this is a central principle of Krishna consciousness. That when we come to Krishna consciousness, or we look into our heart, we see so many sinful desires and remembrance of sinful activities, and we think, I was not born into a very good family, and I was raised in this meat eating and so on. And so we have the residue of those desires and sins in our heart. And if we don't chant the holy name and practice Krishna consciousness, that can control our nature and bring us to a very demonic state of mind and heart. But Kaliya illustrates that no matter how sinful you are, or even born by nature in a sinful family, you can be purified by direct contact with Krishna. And that's what bhakti yoga is. That's what the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers allows us to do. No matter how bad you are, and of course Jagan Madai is a great evidence for this. They were as bad as Kaliya. No, actually they were worse, and yet they were purified by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by their practicing bhakti yoga. So that's where we stand. We should never feel that we're beyond the pale. We should remember some of these great sinful souls and offenders who were purified by contact with Krishna. Here, the great blessing of being contacted by the lotus feet of Krishna. But that's all available through the process that have been given to us. So this comes back to the need for faith. Faith is a multifaceted element in devotional service, essential element. We know that without faith, you can't begin to chant any Hare Krishna or practice devotional service. It's really predicated on the implanting of the seed of faith. When we talk about the Bhakti Lata Bija, part of that is faith, implanted through the words of the spiritual master, by the mercy of Krishna. And what is that faith? That faith is, Krishna is God, I'm his servant, let me try to get close to him. Let me try to practice this process. Even just the very idea of that is such a rare thing in this world. And that needs to come from outside. We can't just generate that on our own. It comes from Krishna through the agency of his spiritual master in concert. So, but as well, there's the other kind of faith, or a supplementary to that faith, is the faith that you can practice devotional service and actually advance. Because think about it. It's all depending. Everything is depending on Krishna's mercy, meaning Krishna's energy, his shakti, his internal energy, the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So at present, we're in the conditioned state. We're separated from that. We've forgotten Krishna. We're not in the internal energy. We're in the external energy, the cruel, right, taskmaster, Durga. She's like the head nun in the convent, slapping your wrist, punishing you for all your sins, right? So we may feel that, we're beyond the pale. We cannot do it. I'm too far gone. But this is actually an attitude that evinces a lack of faith in Krishna, not just in ourselves. Because if Krishna is truly all-powerful, and we have so many instances such as this, where we're seemingly, way beyond the pale, entities such as Kaliya were blessed and turned into devotees, then where do we fall on the spectrum? As Prabhupada said, when one devotee said, I'm the most fallen, Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. Right? So here we have that, Jagai Madhai and Kaliya and so many others who are purified. We can't compare to them in their sinful situation. So if we feel that, I can't do it, let me just do whatever I can, and not push forward, then that's a sign of a lack of faith in Krishna's energy, in Krishna's power to purify. It's simply a question of sincerity, of calling out desperately. Just as we find throughout the Bhagavatam, this same example. What was the proximate reason or the main cause of Krishna's mercy on Kaliya? The prayers of his wives. So intense, so realized, so desperate. And also Kali offered his prayers. And Krishna showed his mercy. He was, you know, he purified. He was already purified by the content. Whereas other demons, they were blessed by being killed. You know, they didn't show any of that. You know, they were like Dhenukasura or Bakasura or all the others. You know, they stayed, they kept their demonic mentality till, you know, all the way to the point of death and leaving, you know, being killed by Krishna. That was his blessing on them. So, in our own situation, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, we have an opportunity to come in contact with Krishna in the most positive and loving way and attractive way. Not just as, you know, as he says, well, everybody comes in contact with Krishna. Mrityu sarvahadaschaham. If you don't believe in Krishna as, you know, the loving, all-attractive personality of Godhead, then you have to believe in death, don't you? Do you believe in time? Ask the scientists, of course. Kalo smi, loka chaya krit pravidho. Krishna says in the 11th chapter, everything is destroyed. I am time. I've come to destroy everyone here. So we can't get away from Krishna, but we do have the opportunity to forget him if we want. That's in our power. But that forgetfulness is the source of all of our difficulties. And by remembering Krishna, by serving Krishna, no matter what situation we come from, we can be purified and get the blessings of Krishna. And what will happen? Well, the heart will change. The heart will change. And we'll feel attracted to Krishna. The remembrance will be easier. We'll be enlivened to serve Krishna in all kinds of ways. And we'll be well on our way in devotional service. So I wanted to end with a couple of poems. But before I do, because we should end with something very sweet. But before I do, I'll ask for a few questions or comments, if there are any. Hare Krishna. Trivikram Prabhu.
It's stated that Garuda could move very fast, and that in the purport, I think, Garuda could actually move at the speed of the mind.
That's fast.
So that's really fast. One other thing there, Taksha, O son of Taksha, who was that referred to, Kalya or Garuda? In the thing.
That's Kalia, isn't it? He says son of Tarksha, but it's mentioned that that he's the son of Kashyapa, so that's a little confusing. I'm sorry? Kashyapa and Kadru.
The wife is Kadru.
And where does Tarksha fit in?
No.
Is it? Yes, it must be.
Yeah.
So Tarksha is another name for Kashyapa.
Actually, in Dwapara, that when the snake came, snake's supposed to come and bite King Parikshit. It took the form of Taksha.
There you go.
So there is a Taksha, is actually Kashyapa's name also.
Yes. Okay.
I have one.
Go ahead.
Nice thought of Sanatana Goswami says, so you have explained very nicely that when Sobhari Muni cursed, so he is so-called compassion, you nicely explained. So for my own understanding, even if he all the world want to see actually what's wrong to be compassionate to the ordinary cause, you know, serve the old people, feed the homeless, tsunami. But they don't calculate that they feed the hot dog to the tsunami recipient. What kind of compassion? So in this case, it appears like the Kalia came right after that. Those fish, destined to be dead anyway. What it proves. Those fish that was getting protection from Sobhari, they eventually got killed anyway.
That's
by
what's
the
meant. They were
so
doomed.
So it proves that predestiny is...
Yeah, in other words, he lost both ways. Yeah. You know, he cursed the great personality and he didn't protect the fish. and Prabhupada gives that point also, that you know, it's good in the general sense to be kind and to do good for others. That's mentioned in the Gita where he says, okay, if you can't even you know, work for me, then at least don't be a selfish person. Give your, you know. And I always think, well, okay, if you're giving charity, if you're like that, eventually you meet a devotee on the street and you give charity, and that's your agata sukriti, and you're on your way. But the point is that so you give the someone some food or some education or something like that, but then eventually they die, and they're back to, you know, birth and death and whatever sinful reactions are going to play out. So it's a very temporary thing. But if you actually give someone even the beginning of Krishna consciousness, even they may not take it up much in this lifetime, that stands in good stead for their next life. Nothing is ever lost. So in the long view, and we're meant to have that long view as devotees, you see, that giving Krishna consciousness, however we can do it, and especially this is the great advantage of being part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because anything you do in a society is part of a grand worldwide effort to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, when you have a Rath Yatra, okay? Now we can all go out individually, you know, and chant whenever we feel inspired, and that's okay. But when you get together and you put on a Rath Yatra, it makes a big spectacle. People are attracted. There's Jagannath. You know, it's much more effective that way. So it's like you're leveraging your efforts in spreading Krishna consciousness. You know, this whole movement is a great leverage. You know how the leverage works? You know, the demonic Wall Street guys, they have like $1 million in the bank, okay? And they print up these instruments, all kinds of complicated instruments, and they can lend out $10 million, even though they only have $1 million in the bank, right? And in this way, you know, they get more money, right? The result is that if they pay back, then they get $10 million. So that's demonic. But this is also a leveraging movement. Prabhupada came to America with, what, a pair of cartels and a bunch of books and, you know, and of course, his heart full of faith, you know. But because of his purity, and, he's chanting, and as soon as he had a small crew of people who were a little bit attracted, a little bit purified, they in turn could then inspire others to chant. You see how it's like a forest fire, you know? Or as Lord Chaitanya's flood, right? The flooding the whole world, you know? So that's what we're meant to do. A little effort in spreading Krishna consciousness. If someone becomes a little interested, then they'll in turn spread to others and it'll go like that. And that's to the eternal benefit of the soul, not just the temporary benefit of the body. So that's where real compassion lies, and we should always keep that in mind. Prabhu?
I just looked up the son of Tarksha. In 6.6.21, Srimad Bhagavatam, it stated, Kashyapa, who is also named Tarksha, had four wives, Vinata, Kadru, Patangi, and Yamini. And it continues.
Kadru gave birth to Kaliya, and Vinata gave birth to Garuda. Right? Garuda. No one will ever say Garuda. We might as well just say Garuda and be done with it. Hare Krishna. All right, this is my last day here, so I'd like to share with you, I hope I don't get into trouble with this, a poem. We can pretend it's Radhashtami for a moment. So this is a poem that's from the Govinda Lilamrita. It's uttered by the Shari, and it's a prayer for service to Radharani's feet. So I'll give you one of the Sanskrit, and then we'll go through and do the English, and of course we can't have projected here. But the last line is the refrain. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. And then if we have time, we'll do the one to Krishna. We should have time. We have to have time. So here's this Radhikashtika from the Govinda Lilamrita. Now, the idea is that meditate on Srimati Radharani. She's right there in front of you. Kunkamakta kanta namja gava hari gora ba pita namchi tamja ganda kirti nindi sora bha Ballavesha suna sava vanchi tarta sadika maya matma para padma dasya dastu radika. Her gold complexion steals the pride of golden lotus tinged with red. Her fragrance mocks the scent of lotus bloom with saffron powder spread. Her skill in satisfying Sri Hari is perfect and complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Now, I know we can memorize that. Can everyone together? May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Her wondrous silken garments, shameless splendor rubies can display. She is a blooming garden where the bee of Krishna loves to play. She worships Surya every day, so she and Madhava can meet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Eclipsed by Radha's tenderness, the fame of budding blossoms dims. The moon, the lotus, sandal paste, and camphor serve her cooling limbs. When Krishna burns with love desires, her soothing touch dispels the heat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Though youthful goddesses adored by all adore the goddess Shri, she lacks Radha's beauty, youth, and every other quality. So when it comes to lover sports, with Radha no one can compete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. In arts like dancing, singing, joking, Radha is by far the best. She shines with countless traits divine, like love and gorgeous form and dress. Among the famous gopis of Vrindavan, she's supremely sweet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Eternal pastimes, beauty, youth, and love for Krishna make her rich. The loving gopis tremble just to see that love at highest pitch. Her meditation on Sri Krishna's form and pastimes is complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service her lotus feet, perspiring, trembling, hairs on end, and crying, faltering of the voice, impatience, joy, and guile, these signs of rapture make her friends rejoice. For Krishna's eyes, these many gem-like ecstasies provide a treat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Apart from Krishna for a moment, Radha feels anxiety and restlessness and other moods, the highest kind of ecstasy. But when she meets him with some effort, all her sufferings retreat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her. Exalted goddesses like Parvati can hardly ever see Sri Krishna's lover Radhika, but if a humble devotee recites these verses, then Sri Radha, who enjoys with Sri Hari, will pour the nectar of her service down on him eternally. There you go. Now, Krishna was very happy to hear that. So Krishna was very, hopefully, was pleased to hear that poem. But Radharani will be angry with us if we don't chant the one of Krishna, so we better do that.